الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue in the book the author he mentioned كتاب الجنائز the book of funerals in our previous class we're reading the narration of Aisha رضي الله عنها when she mentioned that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he was suffering from the illness that he died in only a few days before his death sallallahu alayhi wasallam that some of his wives were discussing some of the issues that they seen in Habasha and Abyssinia whenever they had made the hijrah there and from his wives sallallahu alayhi wasallam that were present that made the hijrah and witnessed some of these affairs in Abyssinia was Salama and Habiba radiallahu anhuma. And they mentioned a great church that they saw, and its name was Madia. Madia. And then they mentioned that that church was decorated and beautified, and that there were pictures and statues and the likes of adornment and beautification inside of this church. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he heard this, and he, even though he's experiencing this hardship and difficulty from this pain and from this sickness that he died in, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he raised up at this time. He raised up, any indication of the severity of this affair. And he mentioned that these people here, that whenever a righteous individual from amongst them dies, then they will build a place of worship on top of their grave. Whenever someone they consider to be a righteous person died, then they would bury him and then build a place of worship on top of his graves. And this is the pictures and the likes that they see in there. Any of the statues and the pictures that they have in there, any statues of their so-called saints and those who they deem to be righteous, so on and so forth. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he clarified about them, ulaiki shiral khalqi indallah, that these people here are the worst or the most evil, the worst or the most evil of the people with Allah. And then the author, he mentioned the other narration by Aisha radiallahu anha, likewise at the same time, yani in the same sickness, in the same days, another example of this affair and another event whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's warning from this issue. Yeah, he's warning from this issue. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, la'ana Allahu al-Yahuda wa al-Nasara. May the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he clarified the wisdom behind the curse. And we know that the la'an, this means as a supplication, and du'a, li'ib'ad, and rahmatillahi wa tard, and rahmatillahi azza wa jal. This is a supplication against someone to ask Allah to cast them and to take them far away from His mercy. To cast them far away from His mercy. This is what it means, the la'an. Meaning that may the anger of Allah be upon them, and may the punishment of Allah befall them, and may the mercy of Allah not touch them or not befall them, and the likes like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made this dua against the Jews. La'an Allah al-Yahuda wa-Nasara. May the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians. And then he clarified the wisdom behind this curse. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اتخذوا قبورا اتخذوا قبورا انبيائهم مساجد. They had taken the graves of their prophets as places of worship. They had taken the graves of their prophets as places of worship. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam yuhadhiru mimma sana'u. The Prophet is warning sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yani at this time while he's in his deathbed, sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioning this to warn his ummah from doing the likes of that. Because those who do the likes of that, they will have the curse of that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Man tashabbaha biqaumin fa huwa minhum," that whoever resembles or imitates a people, then he will be from them. And the worst way to imitate and to resemble a people, any disbelieving people, is to resemble them in their manners of worship and in their sacred rites and their religion that they deem to be sacred and the likes like this, that is contrary to the legislation of Islam. This is the worst imitation, imitating them in their belief and in their creed, or in their actions of worship and in their rites of their religion, which is no doubt religions of falsehood and misguidance. So to imitate them, and that is a foul way. So the one who imitates them, he will be like them in that manner. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, he will share in that. And so the one who does the likes of these affairs, he was sharing that, being from the worst of the people. And likewise, sharing in a portion of the curse of Allah. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So this is the affair here, that the Prophet ﷺ, days before he died, he warned from the issue of building places of worship on the graves, and taking the graves as places of worship. Even if there was no building there, but a person, he takes the grave as a place of worship, meaning it's a masjid. And a masjid is a place of sujood, a place of prayer. So to go to the grave and to believe that the prayer is good there, or that the supplication and the invocation and the dua is better there, or is more hopeful to be answered in the likes like this. This is all from that aspect of taking the graves as places of worship. As taking the graves as places of worship. And even more severe than that is to build on top of them. Even more severe than that is to build buildings on top of them, and to adorn the buildings and to decorate them. And the likes like that, and even worse than that, is to build places of worship, masajid, actual masajid, and the likes like this. It has been narrated by Jabir radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim. He said, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an yujassas al-qabr. وَنُقْعَدَ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنْ يُبْنَى عَلَيْهِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited. He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited from using plaster, yani building materials on the grave, yani making it plaster and using these building materials and the likes like that. He forbade that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise he forbade sitting on the grave, and also he forbade building on the grave. Building on the grave. And one wording of this narration in At-Tirmidhi, he said, radiallahu anhu, naha nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to jassasa al-qubur wa an yuktaba alayha wa an yubna alayha wa an tuta'a. Wa an tuta'a. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited from using these building materials like plaster and the likes like this on the graves. And he prohibited from riding on the graves. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, writing the person's name, writing the day that he was born, the day that he was died, or writing something about him, writing on the graves. All of this is not allowed. All of this is not allowed and prohibited clearly in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, he prohibited building on the grave. Building buildings, building mausoleums, building tombs, building yani buildings and structures on top of the graves. And likewise, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited from stepping on the graves. He prohibited from stepping on the graves. So the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most complete and perfect guidance. It is the guidance that was revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's moderate, and it's balanced, and it's just. So the graves, they will not be disrespected, they will not be dishonored, they will not be disgraced in the likes like this, but neither will they be raised, and neither will they be praised, and neither will they be worshipped, and the likes like this as well. So there's moderation. It's not allowed to build on the graves, and it's not allowed to write on the graves, it's not allowed to decorate or adorn the graves out of fear of what that might lead to from shirk, and magnifying these graves, and venerating these graves, and directing actions of worship to these graves besides Allah. But likewise, it's not allowed to belittle the graves as well, and to step on them, and to sit on them, or to walk on them, and the likes like this. Also, this is forbidden. So that which is the middle course is the way of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The grave will be honored, and it's legislated to visit the graves in order to supplicate for the people, and to make dua for them, and to ask Allah to forgive them, and to have mercy on them. And one must honor the grave. He must not step on it, and he must not walk on it, and he must not sit on it, and the likes like this, any disgracing and belittling the graves. But also, he may not; it's not allowed to venerate them and to honor them into a manner that it becomes extremism and giving or directing some of the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla to the graves. So everything that would lead to that is prohibited. From that, using the plaster and the likes like this on the graves, and putting the headstones and writing names on them, and likewise putting the flowers on them, and likewise raising the graves. It's not allowed to raise the grave likewise. The most of the people of knowledge have mentioned only a handspan, and then it will be rounded and level, so the people will know, they will know that it's a grave. And then what is allowed, the minimum, is to put like a rock or a stone or a piece of wood at the head of the grave, just to know that it's a grave, and to know where the head is, and the likes like this. Or somebody will put, for example, the family member, it's allowed for him to put some type of small rock or the likes like that, so he knows whose grave it is. not putting something there that's determining anybody who comes there will know whose grave it is. But the one who his loved one is there, he will put like a stone there or right there, so he will be able to identify that. This one is allowed, something small, something that he's aware of, and something that he knows, so that it's known that it's a grave. But as for raising it or building on top of it or putting plaster on it or headstones on it and the likes like this, all of this is forbidden and not allowed because of what it leads to. Because of what it leads to. And we see the wisdom behind that, because we see what the Prophet ﷺ was afraid of today. We see that and we witness that. We see that and we witness that, that there are individuals, they call on the grave besides Allah. They call on the one in the grave besides Allah. They worship the grave literally. Literally, they devote themselves with worship and humbleness and fear and hope and reliance and trust. And some of them, they even believe that the person in the grave, he has control and authority over the events in the world and the likes like this. And one of them will fear the grave, or the one in the grave, more than he fears Allah. More than he fears Allah. This is all the outcome of that. It has been narrated from Ali radiallahu anhu, collected by Imam Muslim, that he said to Abul Hayyaj. Abul Hayyaj is from the Tabi'een. It's mentioned about Abu al-Hayyaj, rahimahullah, he has one narration, and it's this one, and in the books of the Sunnah. He said, Ali said to Abu al-Hayyaj, he said, أَلَا أَبْعَثُكَ عَلَى مَا بَعْثَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, should I not send you on a mission? And he sends you out to do that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me out to do. That means, should I not send you out to take care of that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me to take care of? He said, أَلَا تَدَعَ تِمْثَالًا إِلَى طَمَسْتَ إِلَّا طَمَسْتَ وَلَا قَبْرًا مُشْرِفًا إِلَّا سَوَيْتَ, that you do not leave any statue or any image except for you wipe it out, meaning you disfigure it, you cut off its head, or you break it, or you destroy it. Any picture or any statue, yani like this. Here it says timtham, and some other words in Sahih and Sunan and Nasa'i, وَلَا سُورَةً فِي الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا طَمَسْتَ, and no picture or image in a house except that you wipe it out, you disfigure it, you change the image, you break the image, you tear up the image, you disfigure the image, and the likes like this, by taking off the head or cutting out the face, and the likes like this, so that it's not something now that is considered an image of a living being. So the point is, likewise, he said, radiallahu anhu, and then you should not leave any raised grave except that you level it. Except that you level it. This is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Ali to do specifically, radiallahu anhu, and Ali, he sent those after him, radiallahu anhu, to do the same thing. To do the same thing. And this is to avoid these affairs. We see here that the mention here is to take care of two affairs. And that is the images and the statues, and likewise the graves. And this is the fitna that those people have gathered between. The fitna of the graves and the fitna of the images. The fitna of the graves and the fitna of the pictures and the statues and the likes like this. And whenever they're together, and whenever they're combined, this becomes a great fitna for the ignorant and for the people who have no foundations and fundamentals in it, tawheed, and who are easily misled in the likes like this. So these affairs, they are impermissible and prohibited. Rather, there's a threat of the curse of Allah for the likes of those people who build on the graves, who build on the graves. And we see today that in many of the Muslim lands, that there are graves that are built on, and they have great shrines and beautiful colors, and they're worshipped besides Allah. You'll find some of them making tawaf around them beside the Kaaba. You'll find others them, they'll be in sujood, or they'll praying to the grave, or praying inside there, or they're giving charity and the likes like this. Even in some lands, it has been mentioned by the people of knowledge, and also by individuals that I know from those lands, they have mentioned this, the likes of these same stories, that one of them, they will just find a dog or a donkey, and they'll bury it, and they'll build something on top of it, and they'll say, this is the grave of Wadi so-and-so. This is the grave of Wadi so-and-so. And they will fool the ignorance and the idiots and the likes like this, and they'll come there and they'll give money to the grave, and they'll make oaths to the grave and the likes like this, and give charity and slaughter for the graves. And then those people who claim to be the caretakers of the Wadi and his grave, they take the money and they rip them off in this manner like this. In this manner like this. It's a foul way. It's a foul way. But the point is that the people there, many of the Muslims have been deceived by this. And their hearts are attached to the issue of the graves. And this is why it's forbidden. This is why it's forbidden. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that those people who build places of worship on top of the grave of the righteous, and to worship there, not to worship the grave, Not to worship the grave, just to build a place of worship, to worship Allah at, on top of the righteous, they're the worst of the people with Allah. The curse of Allah is on the Jews and the Christians. Why? Because they built masajid on the graves of their prophets. And you know, if they worship the prophet, this is even more severe. The issue here is just taking the grave as a place of worship. They earned and they deserve the curse of Allah. So how about the one who worships the grave? How about the one who calls on the grave? How about the one who slaughters for the grave? How about the one who swears by the grave? And the one in the grave and the likes like this. And he, like this, this is even more severe. Even more worse. And this is what we see many people who say, La ilaha illallah today, that's what they do. That statement will not benefit them if they die upon that. Waliyadu billah. That statement will not benefit them if they die upon that. Waliyadu billah. So this is the wisdom behind the prohibition of that, because of what it leads to. And we see that, we see the wisdom in that, and that it has led to that. And likewise, similar like this, saying something that we can see. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited from building on the grave. Why? Because it leads to people worshiping the grave. It leads to people worshiping the grave. Do we see the graves now they've been built upon? And we see people worshiping the graves because of that. So what he was afraid of sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it occurred, and we witnessed that. We testify to that. We understand that. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the same manner, he prohibited fornication and the means that lead to fornication. And he prohibited for the man to mix with the woman. For the man to mix with the woman. He prohibited the sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because what it will lead to for fornication. Look, if we look now, those people who mix with the women, what happens to them? Those people who let their children mix with the women, even if they're kids, what happens to them? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is from the wisdom of that. He was aware of these affairs. He received revelation. That's why there's a prohibition. That's why there's a prohibition. That's why it's not allowed for the man to mix with the woman. Not in school, not in work, and the likes like this. This is something that should be known. This is something that should be understood because of what it leads to. Somebody can't say, well, it doesn't, I didn't do it. Okay, that's one person. But others are doing it, and we witness it. Others are doing it, and we witness it. Some of them, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, are doing it, and we witness it. Because they're putting them in that situation that the Prophet forbade, because of what it leads to. And then we see the wisdom behind that, because now the people are doing that contrary to what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they're doing what he was afraid that they would fall into. In the same manner, it's the same thing. We should see the wisdom behind that. We should see the wisdom behind it. These are things that we witness. So this is the reason why it isn't permissible. And this is the reason why the woman, she has to be cautious and have shyness. When she leaves her house, she leaves in a noble manner. And she'll be covered properly according to the legislation. And she will not be a fitna because of what it would lead to. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade that. And so these things are very similar from this aspect. And he said the dhariyah. To cut off the avenue to every evil. Here in these chapters, cutting off the avenue to shirk. With that, with regards to that, which is similar to that, from the fornication, cutting off, and the mixing and the likes like this, cutting off the avenues that lead to indecency, that lead to foulness and indecency in the society, and corruption between the members of society, the male and the female, and likewise in turn corrupting the homes and corrupting the lineage, and the society becomes ruined. We look now in this society, this is something that's well known, fornication. Look at how many houses are destroyed, how many children are destroyed. They have no father, no mother, and they're left on the street. The issue, I mean, we could go into in great detail. Any of those American brothers here who know this affair, baby mamas, and the likes like this, and the calamities that come from that. And the child is the one that gets the worst end of that. And he had having these affairs, and then coming from that, so many calamities and ills in society, from robbery and poverty, and from drug use, and from, and it all goes back to that. It all goes back to that. So the wisdom of the legislation is great, and it's an incumbent for the believers to recognize that and to comply to that in every aspect. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fi sinmi kafa. Allah, He says, oh, you who believe, enter into Islam entirely. Entirely. وَلَا تَتَّبِيُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. And do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Verily, he is a clear enemy to you. So from the footsteps of the devil here is to magnify the grave, to raise the grave, to build on the grave, and the likes like this. The people of knowledge, they mention, if the grave is in a masjid, their prayer in the masjid is not accepted.
salat fi in a masjid that has a grave in it, the salat is batila. It's not accepted. It's not accepted. It's not even considered. And the people of Nadas, they mentioned that if the grave was there first, then the masjid has to be destroyed. If there's a grave there and the people came and built a masjid on top of the grave, the masjid must be destroyed. The masjid must be destroyed and removed. The grave has the right. If the grave came first, the grave has the right to be there, and the masjid has no right to be there, and it should be destroyed. And prayer there is not accepted. Whether the prayer is directed towards the grave and the direction of the grave or not. And likewise, if the masjid was there first and then they put the grave in there, then it's an obligation to take the grave out of the masjid. If the masjid preceded the grave, and then they built the masjid first and then they put a grave inside of it, it's an obligation to remove the grave and to take it to the graveyard. So prayer in a masjid that has a grave in it is not allowed. If the grave was there first, the masjid should be destroyed. And if the masjid was first and the grave, it must be removed. Then the grave, it must be removed. Some people who are attached in this manner, they believe that if there's no grave in the masjid is nothing for them. A masjid with no grave in it is like nothing for them. And even some of them, the reality of these masajid, they're not even masajid. What are they? Mashahid. And this is the way that we see in Iran. They don't have masajid. They have what they call mashahid. The mashhad, they're shrines. They're places. They're called shrines where they build on top of the graves, and the place is built there because of the grave. The place of worship is built because of the grave. The grave is there, they build it there. The whole purpose of the building and the decoration and the adornment is the grave. This is what they want. This is what they build for. And this is what they're looking for. This is what they venerate. This is what they raise. This is what they call on. This is what they hope in. This is what they supplicate for. This is what they slaughter for. And the likes like this, the one in the grave. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. They call it mashahid. Like this. They're called shrines. These are not places of worship. Any true worship. These are places of shirk. Paganism, polytheism. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. So to not be deceived by that. And they'll decorate them and make them beautiful. Beautiful colors and with big domes and the likes like this, and all of this is falsehood. The believer should be aware of that. And some of them, they try to make a qiyas, and they try to use the issue of the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a proof. They try to say that, well, the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in his masjid, so therefore this is a proof that you can have graves in other masajid. You can have graves in other masajids. So they try to make qiyas or make an analogy on the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But likewise, this is not correct. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his grave was in, he was buried in his house sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that the prophets, they're buried where they die. That the prophets, they're different from the rest of mankind, with many different aspects. From them they receive revelation. And if they're similar with mankind, that they're human beings, and they live and they die. But there are other rulings that are related to them specifically. And from that is that the prophets, they're buried where they die. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he died in Aisha's house, radiallahu anha. So therefore he's buried there. And it's known that the house of Aisha was not in the masjid. The house of Aisha radiallahu anha was not in the masjid. It had a doorway to the masjid, going to the masjid. It was next to the masjid, but his house was not in the masjid. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to relieve himself and the likes in his house. He used to have relations with his wife in his house. This is not allowed in the masjid. So this happened in his house with Aisha radiallahu anha, and that house was not part of the masjid. It was not part of the masjid. This is something agreed upon and known. We understand this part? So this is number one. He was buried in his home, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the home of Aisha radiallahu anha. And this remained like this into the entire period of after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, and even after that, for many years until all of the companions who lived in Medina, they had died off. And it wasn't until the time of Al-Walid ibn Abdul Malik, and around the year 88 or 90, 91, in this time. And this time, whenever some individuals from Bani Umayyah, they had the authority, and they had the imara, they had the khilafah, and they had command of the Muslim ummah. They're the ones that expanded the masjid until the grave was included. The masjid was expanded a number of times. And eventually it was expanded until the house of Aisha was entered into the expansion project. But even whenever they did that, before they did that, they had great diligence to exclude the home of Aisha from the masjid, where the grave is. And they built three different walls, with different angles. Not square, not similar to the Kaaba. Some of them have five walls. Some of them are pointed and the likes like this. Like a triangle, so that no one has the ability to get to the grave. No one can actually come to the gravesite because there are three walls built with different angles around the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah. And then the masjid came to the wall like this, in this manner. And it wasn't for some time until the expansion project continued, until the masjid was expanded and then it included the graves were inside here after the masjid was expanded. This was not for many years after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the death of the companions. And likewise, at this time, the people of knowledge, they did not agree. The people of knowledge did not agree with those in authority and those who had entered the home of Aisha into the masjid. They had extended the masjid in this manner. Many of the people of knowledge, they did not agree with this. So this is not a proof. This is not something that is done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was not something done by the Khulafa al-Arba'. It was not something done by any one of the companions. It's not something that the scholars of the Tabi'een agreed upon and encouraged. Rather, they disliked that and they advised to not do that. This is something from the rulers of Bani Umayyah that they had done. So therefore, the actions of the people who came later is not a proof in the religion. You understand that? The actions of what somebody did who come 100 years later, 90 years later, 100 years later, 1,000 years later, their actions are not a proof in their religion. Their actions are not a proof in their religion. We understand that? Especially whenever there are prohibitions clear from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the first issue. This is the first issue. The actions of those who come after, from the Tabi'een, Atba' Tabi'een, and the likes like this, or from individuals, yani from those eras or those generations, or even until today, from the rulers and the likes like this, their actions are not a proof, especially whenever the people of knowledge from them did not agree with them. Likewise, the same issue, which was over a thousand years later, the issue of the dome. This was something also done not by the approval of the people of knowledge, by some leaders from the Atraq and the likes like this, people who have no concern for creed and aqidah, people who themselves, they have no concern and care for the proper creed and proper belief. And it's known about them that their creed is corrupted and foul. And they have no concern for the pure tawheed and the creed of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, radiallahu anhum. So the actions of these individuals is never be a proof. It will never be a proof for establishing an Islamic ruling. Walillahil hamd. Then likewise, on top of that, it's not allowed or correct to compare any other masjid to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nor is it proper or correct to compare any other grave to the grave of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is special. It's specific. The place where he died is tawqifi. Yani there's a revelation with regards to that. The Prophet, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prophets are buried where they die. So therefore, it's not allowed to move his grave. As for the grave of anybody else, it's allowed to move their grave, especially if it's necessary. Especially if it's necessary. So the Prophet, his grave is in a place that's legislated and it cannot be changed and it cannot be moved. A believer, he can't even think about that. He can't even think about waliyadh billah, moving the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It would not even cross his mind. So this is not allowed. So therefore, it's not allowed to compare his grave to other graves. Because if another grave is somewhere, it's not supposed to be like in a masjid or something like that. You just dig it up and move it and put it somewhere else where it belongs. You dig it up and you move it and you put it somewhere else where it belongs, like this. And even there is mentioned that whenever they came and he had the land for his masjid, there were graves there and they removed them. Graves of the mushrikun. The Prophet from Bani Najjar, he got the land from Bani Najjar, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They moved those graves. They removed those graves and the likes like this. So the point is, you cannot compare. There's no analogy, there's no qiyas for any grave to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise his masjid. His masjid is the second greatest masjid in al-Islam. And this land and that masjid is the second most holy masjid and sacred masjid in Islam. So therefore, it's not allowed to compare his masjid to any other masjid. For example, any other masjid, if they built a masjid on top of a grave, or the grave was entered into the masjid from any manner and the likes like this, all you do is just destroy the masjid and pray in a different masjid. You destroy the masjid and pray in a different masjid. But you can't destroy the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a sacred masjid. So it's not the same. It's not comparable. You cannot make a qiyas with this one and that one. Rather, this one, the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has khususiyah, specific traits and qualities that are legislated, and likewise his masjid sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to say, oh, well, we built our masjid around this grave because of this, this is false also and not allowed. This is false also and not allowed. It's not a proof. It's not evidence. It's not accepted, alhamdulillah. So those people who build masjid around graves, they're upon falsehood, and they have no evidence or proof in that. And they have a share in the portion of being from the worst of the people. And if those graves become places of worship besides them, they share in that likewise, the evil of that. And the one who calls to evil, then he will share in that call. And he will share in that misguidance, wadiyadu billah, meaning the punishment of that. Wadiyadu billah, and the evil of that. Wadiyadu billah. So this is something, again, that Ahl Sunnah, they should be aware of. The shubuhat dahila. A believer who he would hear them saying these likes of these affairs, and will not affect him. It will not affect him. It will not even move him. And the likes like this, he will know that it's falsehood. He will know that it's falsehood, that it's not allowed. Building on the grave is not allowed. Having a grave and a masjid is not allowed. There's no aspect of that, how it could possibly be permissible. Anyhow, it could be something good, or how it could be something legislated, or how it could be from Islam, or something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved of. A believer, he would never have any doubts about that. That's falsehood. That's clear falsehood. Masjids on graves is falsehood. And graves and masjid is falsehood. And even more false and evil than that is calling on a dead man. Calling on a dead man, even if somebody was alive and he can't hear you, you call on him. This is only something a fool would do. And only the greatest idiot would do. Calling on somebody, he can't even hear you. Calling on some man, he can't even hear you. If he's in the other room, for example, maybe he's outside in the parking lot, you called on him, help me, help me. Hey, man, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And he can't even hear you, he's outside. He's outside, what if he's dead? This don't even make sense. This don't even make sense in the right mind to call on a dead man to help you, to save you, to provide a child for you, and to give you health or wealth, or to protect you, or to relieve you. All of this is falsehood from the clearest aspect. And then we have these idiots and these ignorant, foolish people who ascribe to Islam and claim that this is permissible, rather they claim that it's from the deen. Wadiyadu billah. And even more... And it's strange than that is people respond to them and follow them and believe in them. Wadiyadu billah. So this is falsehood. This is clear falsehood. So we say about the author, rahimahullah, may Allah reward him. May Allah reward him for entering and in mentioning these narrations here in this chapter in this manner. This is from the wisdom. And he mentioning the intention here is to mention the rulings of the funeral prayer, of the washing and of the shrouding and the likes like this, but he included this issue here to draw the attention to the importance of this affair. And he has a refutation to those people who glorify the graves and raise and worship the graves besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and build on the graves and the likes like that. So this is a beautiful reminder for the author. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, may Allah reward him. After this, he continues with the issue of these ahkam. He says, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu an an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu qala laysa minna man daraba al-hudud wa shaqqa al-juyub wa da'a bi da'wa al-jahiliyyah. He mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, laysa minna. He said that these individuals here, they're not from us. Laysa minna. This is similar to that which has preceded min at-tabarri. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam freed himself from the sadiqah with the hat and the hadiqah and the shaqah. And this is a similar understanding. He's freeing himself here in the same manner. Laysa minna. He's not from us. He's not from us. The one who beats his cheeks. Beats his cheeks. The darab al khudud. This is the khudud or the cheeks. The khudud is the plural of khad. The plural of khad. The place where you put the khad when you sleep. It was on the test the other day. Mikhadda. This word was on our test in Muqaddimah. Mikhadda, the place for the khad. It's called Mikhaddatun. Now the khad, whenever calamity befalls some of them, they'll slap their own face and they'll beat their own face. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who does that is not from us. وَشَقَّ الْجُيُوبِ, and the one who rips the jayb. What is intended by the jayb here? It's not what we may think. Some people think the jayb here, the pocket on the side, or the pocket here. لا. What is intended here? The place where you put your head. The place where your head goes. Through your thobe. This is the jayb right here. Shaq al-Juyub, they will rip their thobe in two. They'll rip their upper garment, and from the throat, from the collar, they'll rip it in two like this, until they expose themselves. This is what is intended here by the jayb. So this is the jayb right here. The jayb right here, in the middle of the thobe. They'll rip this part right here. وَدَعَ بِدَعْوَ جَهِلِيَّةِ, and they called with the call of jahiliyyah. The call of jahiliyyah, again, any wailing and crying out, and mentioning the dead's name and calling for the dead's name, or making dua and supplicating against their self, and the likes like this, or calling for destruction, or calling for wail, and so on and so forth, from the ways of al-jahiliyyah. So we see here again, any what is intended, laysa minna, is similar to that which had preceded, wabariya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he had freed himself. And here is the same meaning. They're not from us. Meaning they're not upon our way or upon our guidance. Meaning these people here have perpetrated a major sin. And those who die in this manner, they're not from us. Meaning from those who went to paradise without any recompense or without any punishment. Without any recompense without any punishment. So this is from those terms that is an indication that this is a major sin. If it's mentioned, بَرِيَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ مِنْ كَذَا وَكَذَا أو مِنْ مَنْ فَعَلَ كَذَا وَكَذَا أو ليس منا أو ليس مني. All of these terms here. أو والله لا يؤمن ولا يؤمن من فعل كذا وكذا. I swear by Allah so and so, he doesn't believe. Or the one who does this and that, he doesn't believe. These terms here, they all have the similar meaning. All of these are indication that they did not fulfill the obligations of faith, and they have perpetrated a major sin. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so and so doesn't believe, or so and so he's not a believer until this. Or whoever does this, he doesn't believe, and the likes like this. Or he's not from us. Or he would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm free from so-and-so who does this and does that. This is an indication that those actions, the one who perpetrates them, has fallen into a major sin. But it's not an indication that they left Islam. This is the point. This does not mean that they have left Islam, but rather what it means is that they have fallen into a major sin lesser than Islam. Meaning they're not from us, or that he's free from them, meaning to indicate any his anger for them, and that he's not in agreement with them, and that they're not upon his way and abiding by his command, rather they have opposed him in that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore they have exposed themselves to the threat of Allah and to the anger of Allah. But they have not left Islam in this manner. So these affairs here are not from the things that will invalidate Islam, but they're from the major sins. The people of Nar, as they mentioned, likewise, anything that's similar to that, any beating the cheeks, for example, beating one's face, even if he beat his head or beat his body, or if he were to strike something else, meaning what is intended right here, from these affairs, similar to the other that had preceded, التسخط عند المصيبة, التسخط أو إظهار التسخط لقضاء الله وقدره عند حصول المصيبة, يعني to show that one is detestful, or disliked, or unsatisfied, or does not accept the decree of Allah when the calamity befalls. And the one who is like this, he has tasakhud, or he has jaza', and he doesn't have patience. He doesn't refrain his tongue from saying something that is not allowed, that displays his unsatisfaction, or his detest, or dislike for the decree that had befallen, or his body parts likewise, to act in a manner where he displays, it's an obligation to refrain from that. To hold the tongue from that, to hold the hands from that, the body from that, then you're displaying that. This is what it means to be patient. This is the obligation. To be patient, to refrain the tongue from saying anything that would display, detest, or dislike with the calamity that befell by the decree of Allah, or to act in any manner like that, likewise. This is an obligation. The one who did not perform that, then this is what happens here. They'll strike their cheeks, or they'll rip their clothing, or they'll call out and cry out with the calls of jahiliyyah. What is intended by Jahiliyyah, that which is before Islam. And this was the days of Jahiliyyah. And it was called a Jahiliyyah because of the extreme ignorance that they were upon. And in their manners and their conduct and their creed. and in their dealings and the likes like this. And likewise, even today, the people of knowledge, they mention anything that is contrary and in opposition to that which the Prophet ﷺ came with, is considered likewise jahiliyyah. It's considered likewise jahiliyyah, and from that aspect. And so we have the guidance of the Prophet, then we have al-hawa, wal-jahil, wal-iyadu billah. So, again, at the time of calamity, here is specifically with regards to the loss of a loved one, with the loss of a loved one, and because this is the chapter of funerals, a believer, he must be patient. He must be patient, and he must accept that. He must accept that, and he must refrain his tongue from saying anything that would be show detest any with the decree. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, he has the greatest and most complete guidance with regards to this. And it's mentioned that one of his daughters, radiallahu anha, she sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the death of one of his grandchildren. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered for them to tell her, to say to her, inna lillahi ma akhadha wa lahu ma ata wa kullu shay'in 'indahu bi ajalin musamma. بأجل مسمى فلتصبر وتحتسب. يعني that she mentioned that he ordered her to be patient, and that everything, that whatever Allah took, that's from Allah. Allah took what belongs to him, and what he gave, it belongs to him, and everything, it has a term and appointment. So be patient and seek the reward from Allah. And this is how he raised his own family, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised his daughter radiallahu anha, when one of her children died, and at that time, whenever she's going through this hardship, and at the moment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he informed her, inna lillahi ma akhadha wa lahu ma ata wa kullu shay'in 'indahu bi ajalin musamma. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he informed her, he said that verily, indeed, that which was taken belongs to Allah. That which was taken, and the child that was taken, that belongs to Allah. Inna lillahi ma akhadha. And what he had taken, it belongs to him. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does what he wills with his creation. And he takes them as he wills. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa lahu ma a'ta. And he is the one who has given it. And it belongs, the child belonged to Allah. The child belonged to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, he is the one who provided the parent with the child. And the child that died, Allah, he is the one who took it. And it belonged to him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa kullu shayin indahu bi ajalin musamma. And everything with Allah has a term appointed. Meaning everything in this life has a beginning and an ending. And it has a beginning and an ending. Allah decreed that it will come into existence, and there would be a time, an appointment with him, that it will leave. Likewise, so the people, they have a term that they cannot go past. The people, they have a term that they cannot go past. So to remember this, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that she should فَلْتَصْبِرْ وَالْتَحْتَسِبْ, that she should be patient, and she should seek the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how a believer, he will deal with the calamity. Likewise, it's reported authentically that there was a woman crying at a grave, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to her, and he told her the similar. He said, اِتَقِ اللَّهِ وَاصْبِرِي, fear Allah. Fear Allah and be patient. And then she said, she didn't know it was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She said, get away from me, you were not afflicted with the calamity that I was afflicted with. And then later on, she was informed that it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she went to apologize. She went to apologize, radiallahu anha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. In the صَدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. That the patience is only at first strike. So this is the reality of patience. When is it really considered sabr? At first strike. This is the determining factor. Because after that, everybody becomes patience. And the patience of the people, they say sabr al-baha'im, the patience of the animals. And the animals, they have no choice. And the likes like this. And after some time, a person, he will just be patient because he's forced to be patient. He has no other option. He has no other option. And the likes like this, like the animals. If you take one of their child or something happens to them, and the likes like this, they have no other option except to be patient. So they'll be patient in this manner, like this. But this is not the patient that has reward. The patient that has reward is at the first time of calamity. So it's legislated for a believer, whenever calamity befalls him, to say immediately, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And to be patient, and to seek the reward from Allah, and to cry as aloud. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried more than one time at the death of some of his companions, at the death of one of his children, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he mentioned in that the ayah cries, and the heart is sad, but we don't say anything that displeases our Lord. We don't say anything that displeases our Lord. So to cry, this is from mercy. This is mercy that Allah puts in the hearts, and that the heart is sad at the loss of a loved one. This is allowed. And at the beginning of the calamity, this is not forbidden. Rather, this is something that is good and from the sunnah. That a person, if he lost a loved one, he will cry for that. And he'll feel sad for them, and he'll make dua for them, and the likes like this. But it will not overcome him until he wails, or until he weeps, until he screams, until he strikes things, or tears his clothing, or the likes like this, and loses control. La, or he says that which is displeasing to Allah. La, this is not allowed. This is not allowed. So the true patience is in the beginning of the calamity. In the beginning of the calamity. And this is one the determining factor. This is the determining factor. After this, the author, he closed the chapter with the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, annahu qad. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من شهد الجنازة حتى يصلى عليها فله قراط ومن شهدها حتى تدفن فله قراطان قيل وما القراطان قال مثل الجبلين العظيمين ولمسلم أصغرهما مثل أحد مثل أحد. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whoever attends al-janazah, man shahida, shahidahuna bimana hadara, and whoever witnessed, meaning whoever attended the funeral procession, whoever attended the janazah until it's prayed upon, then he has a qiraat, and in reward. Whoever attends the janazah until the prayer is finished, meaning he attends the prayer until it's finished, he has as a reward for that qiraat. A qiraat. A qiraat is a type of measurement. It's a type of weight that they will measure with. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whoever remains with the janazah until it's buried, then he has two. He has two, meaning one for witnessing the prayer and attending the prayer, and one for attending the burial. So you have two, one for attending the prayer and one for attending the burial. So then they said to him, what is the qiratan? What is intended here by these two qirat? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the likes of two great mountains. The likes of two great mountains, meaning in reward. In reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Sefer. And in one word, Imam Muslim, the author, he says, rahimahullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, asgaruhuma mithru Uhud. The smaller of the two mountains is like the mountain of Uhud. The mountain of Uhud, which is a great mountain. A very large mountain, well-known mountain in Al-Madinah. So this is a great encouragement. And to attend the funeral procession and to pray, to attend the funeral prayer, and likewise to follow the janazah and to attend the burial, likewise. And this is also from the honor of the believer and the encouragement that has come in the legislation to honor the believer and to respect the believer, and to attend, it's encouraged to attend the funeral, and likewise to attend the burial and the likes like this, in order, first and foremost, to fulfill the rights of the deceased, the one who died from the believers. He has a great honor and status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from that, the encouragement to attend his prayer and his janazah prayer, and to attend the funeral. This is all out of honor and showing honor and respect to the believer. And in the legislation, a great care and concern in the legislation for the believer while he's alive and while he's dead. While he's alive and while he's dead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Rabbul Alameen. And He has created and cherished and nourished and raised and provided for the human being. And likewise, He has legislated laws that encompass the life of the human being before he's born until he's dead. Until he's dead. And all of this in honor. In honor. So it's highly encouraged to perform these affairs in order to fulfill the right of the deceased, and likewise to help the family members, and also to take an admonition. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.